turn in our Bibles together to 1 Peter chapter 5, page 1394 in the Pew Bibles, 1394. 1 Peter chapter 5. This is the holy word of God. The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion but willingly, not for dishonest gain but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Verses 5 through 7 is our text this morning. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. So far from our text, and just reading a few more verses for context. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. And we direct our attention to verses 5 through 7 as our text for this morning. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're not really all that surprised, are we, with a call to humility? We ought to expect such in the Word of God. We ought to expect the call to be humble as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Holy, harmless, and undefiled as he was, meek and lowly of heart as he calls us to come to him. We could summarize what's before us here in these three verses. At the heart of it is this call to humility. Be clothed with humility. Clothe yourselves with humility. It is a command. I wonder, as you think about it, or as you are addressed by these words, addressed by this command, be clothed with humility, and the words that follow, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, how you feel? You like being told to be humble? I would submit to you that there's something that cuts against the grain, because there's something we need to hear with regard to this call to humility. But boys and girls, maybe you've had that before. Mom and Dad have said, you need to be humble. And how did that go? Did you enjoy being told that you need to be more humble? It's not that easy, is it? Now, if we think about it long enough, we know from the character of our Lord Jesus Christ that he always counted others better than himself. He always sought the interest of others ahead of his own. He was one who did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He is meek and lowly of heart, as he says of himself. So we're not surprised by this call to humility. And maybe Maybe you've heard the anecdote in terms of the church father, Augustine, and his answer in terms of the three things you need to say about what the Christian life is all about. It's kind of like what we say about real estate is location, location, location. Augustine said with regard to the Christian life, it is humility, humility, humility. So we're not surprised. But it is surprising, isn't it, to have to be told to be humble. And that's where this gets a little bit challenging. And as we look at this passage together, we see that we're called to be clothed with humility. All of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. Put that on as a garment. I don't know, boys and girls, if you can sort of picture this as well, when you are rummaging through your closet looking for something to wear, or maybe your mother is rummaging through the clothes closet by the door trying to find some warm winter clothes, and she's picking out this and that and throwing that, here, put this on. And that's sort of the picture that Peter is giving to us. He says, here, humility, put this on. We'll get to what that means and how we can actually do that in a moment. But just to think for a second how it feels when someone says, you need to be more humble. What are you talking about? I need to be more humble. There's no one more humble than me. How does that sound? That's the enigma. That's the elusiveness of humility. Let me tell you how humble I am. Well, there's the challenge, right? That's the surprising character of this command to be humble. And in our self-respecting pride, we grate a little bit. We get a little bit ashamed when we find ourselves humiliated. That's humiliating. And we don't like that. But there's a difference, as we'll seek to explain, between our own concern for ourselves about being humiliated and our desire to live in grateful, humble dependence upon God in humility. Now, there's another surprising aspect about this command here that comes near the end of 1 Peter. We've been reminding ourselves almost every step of the way, this is a letter written to Christians who are struggling, Christians who are facing opposition, Christians who are being persecuted. And he tells them to be humble. This is what they need to be taking hold of. And we may think to ourselves that means sort of hunker down and cover over and lay down with your face on the ground or your face in the mud and give up. And we may be thinking to ourselves, well, these are Christians who are facing opposition. They need to be faithful. They need to stand firm. They need to stand up. They need to be bold. They need to be courageous. And the problem is we have this idea that it's one or the other. But it's not one or the other. Those things are not in opposition to each other. Peter, as he's emphasizing here in these words, the focus of our sermon today is calling for them to be clothed with humility, to humble themselves before God, to cast their cares upon the Lord. But he will go on and he will urge them to be sober, to be vigilant, to resist the devil, and to be steadfast in the faith. So humility and standing fast uprightly, those are not contradictory things. Humility and boldness and courage are not in opposition to each other. They go hand in hand. And that's important for us to appreciate as well. Let's pick up the command of the Lord here. Clothe yourselves with humility and work through these points together. This humility that he's talking about is to be put on like a garment by everybody. All of you, he says, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. In the second place, it is produced under the mighty hand of God. Sometimes we sing that from Psalm 32 as a song of confession in connection with the service of confession at the beginning of our morning worship service. Your hand was heavy on me. My soul found no relief. Sometimes the mighty hand of God presses down upon us in his dealings with us in his providence. Those are also surprising things at times in the way that we've sung about prayer and how things go. It's produced under the mighty hand of God. And this blessing of humility is proven. It shows itself for what it is in the context of anxiety. And we're to give all of our anxiety, all of our cares over to the Lord. Well, let's consider that in terms of what we have put on humility. It's interesting at verse 5, likewise, you younger people. Here's a word for the young people. Could it be said that a characteristic of us when we're young is that we're not always as humble as we need to be? Could that fairly be said? Is it a characteristic of us when we're young that we're not always so eager to listen to advice and encouragement and follow direction of those who have been around the block a few times? We may think we know better. You know how it's said when a little boy is a young child, he says about his father that he knows everything. His father can do everything right. But as a little boy becomes a teenager, his father suddenly knows nothing. His father can do nothing right. And then he grows up a little bit more and he begins to see that his father does know some things that he needs to learn from. So we understand that there's something to the fact that Peter is addressing here the young people who need to be addressed in this way. Submit yourselves to your elders. And the context was words to the elders about how they were to be. And here's the encouragement. You're called to submit to those who are your elders, who are in turn to be in submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you remember all of the pairs of things they were not to be, but were to be. They're not to be leading by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as lords, but those as examples to the flock. So there's a word here that is against sort of authoritarianism that's going to just push their weight around and tell you what to do, but is in humble submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a word here that is against sort of my doing my own thing because I know what's best and I'm my own boss and I can do what I please. Now, I've sort of honed in as Peter has here on the younger people. But Peter quickly, as he moves on at verse 5, says, yes, all of you be submissive to one another. And so this is not just sort of a wagging of the finger at the young people. This is something every one of us needs to hear. This need to be in humble submission to one another is a calling for all of us. And the way Peter brings that around is also, I think, important for us to appreciate, just by the way, in terms of our life together as covenant community, in what we share intergenerationally. Peter is not going to put up with sort of dividing us into camps. Well, here are the young people over here doing their thing, and here are the older people over there doing their thing. All of you together be in humble submission to one another. There is the blessing, isn't there, in a covenant community of being engaged together, old and young, learning from one another. That's an important thing, an important and rich blessing to give thanks to God for in his grace and loving kindness. So all of you, be submissive to one another. Now, I sort of jumped over the first word at verse 5, likewise. And some sermons ago, we focused in on the word likewise at 3 verse 1 and 3 verse 7. And you remember that the whole context was there in terms of living in humble submission, like Christ did at the end of chapter 2. So wives, likewise, be Christ-like in your humble devotion to the well-being of your home, in the service and love of your husband. Verse 7, likewise, husbands, with Christ-like devotion, be a husband who loves his wife. And now likewise, you younger people, but all of you, take your model of humility and submission from the Lord Jesus Christ. And now here Peter is saying, people, put this on. Put on humility. Clothe yourselves with humility. And I put in the bulletin, in terms of the points, I put that "put on" in quotation marks so as to make sure it's not misunderstood, because you know there can be a put on humility. What I mean is that we can act the part. We can put it on. We can put it on thick. And that's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about pretending to be humble. He's talking about the need for humility. And the reason it's a command confronts us with the reality that this is not something that's natural to us. The reason it sort of grates us when someone says you need to be more humble is, well, we're busted. We're called out. We're caught in our arrogance and we're ashamed. We're humiliated. And why are we humiliated? Because we're proud. We're proud. So what we're not talking about is humiliation that says, oh, I'm so frustrated and I'm so embarrassed and people are looking at me and it's so embarrassing. That is a reflection of pride. But humility is a completely different thing. This being ashamed and called out and embarrassed reflects the fact that we are focused upon ourselves and concerned about what other people think about us. But humility is something totally other, something we've learned from the Lord Jesus Christ, something that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a humble recognition. I need him. So I can stop being concerned about what other people think about me. And I can become like him and be concerned to be a blessing to other people and to serve them. Put that on. How do you do that? Well, you put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 13, verse 14. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. You need to be covered with the robes of Jesus' righteousness. Why do we get so embarrassed and concerned when we are sort of shown to be sinful, shown to be weak? It's because of pride. But you put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and that need for self-acceptance, for self-respect, goes away. You need the Lord Jesus. Now, I think as Peter writes this, be clothed with humility, I think we would not be wrong to be thinking in our minds as well of Peter's own experience with Jesus on the night that Jesus was betrayed in John chapter 13. Jesus is getting his disciples ready for the serving of the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper as well. We're also thinking about Lord's Supper for next Lord's Day afternoon. And what does he do? He gets down and he clothes himself. He covers himself with a towel and he gets on his knees and he washes their feet. I think most of us can remember that account. And if we can't, you can be assured Peter did. Because Peter was, no, you're not washing my feet. Maybe Peter was thinking, well, that's too low for Jesus. But Peter didn't understand his own need for cleansing. Peter didn't understand his own need to be humble at that point. And that was something that he, by the grace of God, could come to know. Put on humility. And you do that by putting on the Lord Jesus Christ and humbly acknowledging, I need Him. I need to be covered by His perfect work, clothed with His righteousness. And when I'm trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, then I become like Him. And I want to serve others as He did. That's an encouragement, a challenge for all of us. All of us need to hear it. Because all of us, by nature, are more inclined to be humiliated and to resist than we are to humble ourselves before God. Because all of us are more inclined to think we'll do it ourselves without reference to Jesus than we are to throw ourselves at His feet and say, I need You. So say to Jesus, I need You. The second thing we look at together this morning, this blessing of humility, is produced under the mighty hand of God. So Peter goes on to flesh out what that looks like. He says at verse 6, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time. And just carry with for a moment. Let's carry on with the problem we have with pride. The problem we think we can do it ourselves and what that looks like. Or the problem we have when we are very, very perturbed and frustrated because we've been humiliated. Because we're concerned about what people think about us. We're concerned for our own honor. How does it go? How does your life go in those circumstances? Not that well. Because what happens, it seems like, God gets in the way. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time. And again, with reference to Psalm 32, verse 5, the hand of the Lord heavy upon us. When we walk in arrogance and in pride and in frustration and in bitterness, it seems that things are not going well because God's standing in our way. Thanks be to God, He's teaching us. But humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you in due time. God delights in showing grace. He gives grace to the humble. That's a parallel passage from James, the way this teaching, He gives grace to the humble. He is eager to show grace. To the humble. To those who understand we need Him very, very much. And you understand that God, also through times when He sort of seems like He's standing in our way, is through those circumstances teaching us our need not to be humiliated, but our need simply to humble ourselves before Him. And to acknowledge our need of Him. And the promise here is encouraging. He will exalt you in due time. That means in His good time. It may not be the timing you had preferred. It's sort of what we were singing about in Newton's hymn, 519. It's not like I thought it would go. It wasn't as easy as I thought it would be. But God will exalt you in due time, according to His time and His wisdom. And we're learning humility. We're learning dependence along the way. Ultimately, when we speak of due time, when we speak of His time, we could speak about eternity. Ultimately, we know that He will exalt us in eternity. We'll be glorified with Christ in eternity. We may have to wait till then for all of this to be resolved, but recognize God, under His mighty hand, it's a powerful hand, not pushing us back. He's holding us up and He's carrying us along. And in due time, He'll make things well for us as we acknowledge we need You. We humbly depend upon you. And then verse 7 fleshes that out further, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. So we're tying that in with our third point, proven in anxiety. Proven in anxiety, cast all your care upon him. Do you have any anxiety or any cares? Are you weak and heavy laden? This is something I think we can all identify with, and sometimes some of us more than others, in certain circumstances more intensely than others. And remember, Peter is writing to those who are oppressed, who are experiencing opposition, betrayal, hostility for their faith. And he's not saying lay down. He's not saying cover your head over. That's not what humility looks like. He'll go on and say it means resist the devil. It means stand fast and stand firm. It means be sober, be vigilant, all of those things. But make sure you're casting your care upon him. Now, again, that language, I think we looked at that kind of biblical language back at the beginning of the year from Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Cast your bread upon the waters. Now we're told, cast your cares on him. Throw them at him. There's a violence here. There's an abandon. There is a sense of urgency and seriousness. I need your help. Cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. He's got a mighty hand. He will exalt you. He cares for you. He's with you. That's the encouragement. Now, in humiliation, if we're so concerned about ourselves still being proud, that doesn't even strike us as encouraging, but in deep humility, we're saying, I have nothing that I haven't received. We're simply expressing our dependence upon God and our need for his blessing and help. This is greatly encouraging, isn't it? He cares for you. He will exalt you in due time. He is with you. He knows, he understands. He loves you. He delights in mercy. He's a God who loves his people. And he's not weak and frail either. He's powerful and sovereign. He has a mighty hand to exalt you. And we need to ask ourselves the question, in the midst of these anxieties, these cares that we have, what is it that is bothering us? What is it that riles us up? What is it that gets us going? It's an opportunity for reflection upon the idols of our hearts, the things that make us afraid, the things that make us mad, the things that make us perplexed and perturbed. And are you able to cast that all at his feet? That's the challenge, the encouragement here. Cast your cares upon him. He cares for you. Give it all to the Lord. We're helped in these things with the language of David the psalmist in Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Verses 23 and 24. Try me. Know all my anxious thoughts. See if I have any wicked ways in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Cast your cares at his feet. So this being clothed with humility is an encouragement for us to know that we are clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Put him on. Take hold of him and know that your heavenly Father cares for you. Know that with his mighty hand, he will exalt you. He'll carry you through. Nothing will separate you from his love. But don't be concerned about yourself. Be concerned for his glory. Don't think you can do this yourself. Do it in humble dependence upon him. and He will exalt you in due time. He cares for you. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly God and Father, we thank You that You do teach us, that You work in our lives even through Your providential hand to move us away from self-righteousness, self-confidence, and pride, to teach us the blessing, the rich privilege of humble dependence upon You, who You are, what Jesus has done. And we pray that we may find our all in You, that our desire may above all be to walk in sweet fellowship with You for the glory of Your name. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.